head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Come on in and welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I am your host, Rick Redding. I've been doing this for about 5 years now and am really enjoying it because I always get to meet fascinating and interesting guests. Now, this is an unusual thing. For a long time on this show, I had a policy of never having the same guest twice. And, you know, I didn't run out of people, but I had people that did more interesting things after they were on the show. And that's the case today. I have two guests who are both return guests. I know Morgan McGarvey was on in 2014 when he was just getting started as a state senator. And I have him back again today. To talk about some other stuff you're going to find very interesting. And also, down at the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience, I have Jeff Crow, who was on about 3 years ago, and talking about that attraction, which was the first Whiskey Row attraction. And now they have a new bar opened up, and he is my Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Tourism folks, who are very nice enough to sponsor this show. And I'm very happy to have them aboard, along with Passport Health Plan. Passport is a great sponsor. I do this work for Passport Health Plan called, it's a website called PassportWellbeing.com, and if you go to the community section, you'll see a bunch of stories I've written about things going on in people who are interesting in the West End. I will tell you that this week, or last week, I attended a press conference down at Shawnee Park, and it's something you may not know about, but it's very interesting. They're talking about putting a $10 million building there at the parks. It's called the Shawnee Outdoor Learning Center, and of course, the mayor was there, and I talked with a guy named Joseph Scott, who I've talked about here on the show before. He is a construction guy and quite a story. And I'm really excited about that down at Shawnee. They're actually Sherry Bryan Hamilton, the Metro Councilwoman, was there, and she is excited. They're going to do a boat ramp, and there's already some really nice basketball courts. So you know, every part of this town, there's something kind of cool going on, it seems like. And so you can look for that story that I wrote about that project on PassportWellbeing.com, the community. All right. So I've got some other stuff to talk about. My other two sponsors, Heiser Health and Eye Care Institute. And I'm going to open up the next section of the show with that. But right now, I want to tell you about Morgan McGarvey, who is a Manual High School graduate. He is, I confirmed, he's 38. As a funny thing I went to is he's got a Wikipedia page that he didn't know about, and it doesn't have a, it doesn't say exactly what age he is, but he's 38. And he's quite a fascinating guy. He's the kind of politician I think I'd be if I were one. He is on the right side of most issues. And we're talking about the sports betting issue, which is, it's no panacea for Kentucky's financial problems. But, you know, it could bring as much as $30 million into Kentucky if the legislatures up there are smart enough to pass it. Now, on August, I think it's the 8th, at the Louisville Forum, Morgan is going to be squaring off with Martin Cothran, I think his name is, of the Family Foundation. He's one of these, well, I'll call it, I can say this, religious nuts who thinks that gambling is a sin and should be outlawed, even while he probably enjoys playing the lottery and betting at the racetrack and all that, but they're going to be opposed to sports betting in Kentucky. That, you know, and that's silly. It's just downright silly to choose one form of betting and outlaw. It's just like the casino effort. You know, Governor Bevin, I can get on my high horse about Governor Bevin, and thankfully we got people like Morgan McGarvey who are counterpoint to Bevin, who's determined not to have, you know, he basically, the state is broke. This pension crisis is killing the state, yet the most obvious sources of new revenue, marijuana, casino gaming, and now sports betting, he's adamantly opposed to on moral grounds, which is ridiculous, if you ask me. So anyway, I think Morgan has a nice viewpoint on this. He's on a committee that's set up to try to get a sports betting bill passed so you can bet on, you know, things like UofL and UK games. You know, it would be nice to do that. He says most of it will take place by phone. So we'll have to see how that goes in the next session. It would come up in 2019. It could be legalized. Of course, by then, I'm sure a lot of other states will be ahead of us on that, just like they were on casino gaming, just like they were on marijuana. And we're still sitting here trying to figure out how to solve the pension crisis and not mistreat our teachers, as Governor Bevin likes to slam them, et cetera. So anyway, I don't want to ramble too long here about that. I want to let you listen to my talk with Morgan McGarvey.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and our Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at PassportHealthPlan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right, today I'm in a law office downtown with Morgan McGarvey. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We did this 4 years ago. Can you believe it?
Is that 4 years?
Yes.
Wow.
And in those 4 years, you seem to have become a rising star among Democrats in Kentucky. Let's just start off with the big question. Your name, all the stories I've read, your name comes up about first in the stories about who's going to run for attorney general in the next election. So you haven't announced yet, but where are you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and one I truly think about. So first of all, I'll say, you said rising star in politics. I always think it's funny when you get the label rising star. It's like, in 2 years when I'm a falling star, are people going to come back and claim that?
Nobody's going to say that about you when you crash and burn.
Exactly. I hope that doesn't happen. But when I look at these elections, it's not something I've thought about. It's not something I have been thinking about since I've been in office every day. The biggest news in my life is that on August 18th, we are expecting our third child.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, yeah. And so, not a lot of people, some people know because we've been involved with Norton Children's Hospital and that sort of thing, but our twins, who just turned 7 this summer, were born 14 weeks premature. Okay. Weighed about a pound and a half when they were born. Totally unexpected. My wife's water broke at 24 weeks, and she was in labor for 10 days before they were delivered, and really a scary ordeal.
Sure.
Really and truly, prayers answered. We were able to have another child and get pregnant again, and she will be 37 weeks this Saturday.
All right, good.
So we are, just really overjoyed, and as she tells people, she's wonderfully uncomfortable right now because we understand what a gift it is to be pregnant at this stage. And for that reason, when I talk about 2019, I truly am not making a decision until I know we have a healthy baby.
Okay.
And when that happens, I think I'm going to look at it. I served as an assistant attorney general for a little while, for a couple of years. That's an incredible office. And the ability you have to protect consumers, to do the right thing, to sort of be the Commonwealth's lawyer, it really is a neat, cool office where you can do a lot of good things, which, that's appealing because that's why you get into public service.
Sure.
It's not for the rubber chicken dinners. It's really and truly to be able to help people. And I think there's an ability to do that in that office.
And one of the things that you do in that office, like if you're in there now, is fight with the governor.
Yeah, which I hope isn't the case. But I think that there are two instances in particular where it had to happen. The governor, when he reorganized the University of Louisville Board of Trustees, he did it in a way that absolutely violated existing law. There's no question about that. I think there's bipartisan agreement on it. In fact, the legislature had to come in after he did that and change the law so that the reorganization stood. Now, I'll say this. The reorganization at UofL needed to be done. And I think that he put 10 people on that board who were serious about cleaning things up at that university and getting rid of the president, which needed to happen. Mm-hmm. So there were good things that did it. But he did it the wrong way. And I think when you're a lawyer, you do have to adhere to the rule of law. And so, you can't in a government and in a democracy in particular use the ends justifies the means as a way of governing. And so I think that it was good that we had an attorney general who said, wait a second, this violates the statute. And it did. It's not to say that the actions weren't good, but you can't do it that way. And of course, the other fight is over this pension deal. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. We passed a pension law. It has level dollar funding, which appropriates money for 30 years. It dictates how much money teachers are going to get in the future and how much current teachers are going to get from their benefits. The Constitution says in Section 46, if you're going to appropriate money or you're going to create a debt, which we just talked about that bill doing,
right,
you've got to have a majority of the members elected voting for it. And that's important because in the 38-member Senate, that means 20 people have to vote for it. Mm-hmm. In the 100-member House, that means 51 people have to vote for it. It only received 49 votes. So that is a legitimate question. I think it does make the bill unconstitutional. I agree with Philip Shepard's ruling in that regard in Franklin Circuit Court, and I think the Supreme Court's going to uphold it. So, but I wish that you could have more of a relationship where the Attorney General is saying to the governor, you can't do this because it violates law, and then the governor would actually take that with some, with some seriousness and some merit.
You don't think calling the judge names is the
No, it's not the right way to do it. I mean, look, calling people names in general is not the right way to do things. So we have beliefs. You should stand for your beliefs. You should stand on principle. Willing to work with people doesn't mean compromising your principles.
Yeah.
Right? But I think we need to do a better job listening to each other.
All right. Well, I want to talk about one piece of legislation in particular. I know in a couple of weeks you're going to speak on a panel at the Louisville Forum about sports betting, which, based on a national ruling, is now could be legal in Kentucky. And I'm guessing you're on the side that's for it. Tell me where that is. I know you're working on the legislation right now. You're on a committee that's working on the legislation, right?
Yes, I am. Now, it's a bipartisan committee. Julie Rocky Adams, state senator from here in Louisville, and Representative Jason Nemus and I are sort of helping spearhead that group. But it's people from across the state. It's not just Democrats and Republicans. We have some urban and rural legislators, which is important on this type of issue.
Sure.
Because actually what I see when it comes to the gaming issues, it's less of a Democrat-Republican divide than it is an urban-rural divide. And so we are working on this. In fact, people from that area are meeting with representatives from Keeneland. We're going to be meeting with representatives from Churchill. We've met with representatives from the lottery already. We're going around. We're trying to meet with everybody.
Okay.
We're not trying to write the legislation before we meet with people. We're not trying to favor any specific group or person, but really come up with the best way to do this and set the framework. And the question I get most often is, what makes this different than casino gaming?
Sure.
We've passed up the opportunity for casino gaming for a number of years to the point where I think we've literally and figuratively missed the boat on that. And I think what makes it different is that just sports gaming is different in general. Mm-hmm. People, for whatever reason, don't view sports gaming the same way they view casino gaming. Okay. And if you think about it, I think in Kentucky and in other places, that makes sense, right? How many people have put $2 down on a horse at Churchill Downs, one of our other racetracks? Or how many people in Louisville in particular have just gone to a backyard derby party where you draw names out of a hat and you put a little money in the till? I mean, that's sports gaming. How many people in this area of the state have been involved in an office NCAA bracket pool?
Sure.
That's sports betting.
Yeah.
Right? So I think when you have that familiarity with sports betting, we haven't touched on the fantasy sports leagues that exist out there and are extremely popular with men and women. I think people look at sports gaming and go, it's not really gambling, because there is that level of familiarity there with it. Now, the good news about that is, I think with this bipartisan committee, when I say bipartisan, I mean rural, urban, Democrat, Republican. There's lots of political diversity on there. I think we can come up with a bill that can pass the General Assembly, and I think it will. The other side of sports gaming, though, is it will generate money for Kentucky.
Right.
But it is not the windfall that expanded gaming or, you know, other sources of revenue.
Yeah, I've seen the number 30 million maybe.
Yeah, and the estimates range between 5 and 30 million.
Okay.
Which when you think about it, you know, in government, and sometimes when you hear there's only a $25 million discrepancy, you say, well, that's not much. We're pretty spot on, but you're dealing with much bigger numbers. Okay. 25 million, we're talking about 5 million or 30 million is a huge number. So it depends on how we do it, how widely available it is, what you can bet on. But $30 million, we shouldn't turn it down. We should do it. We should collect that revenue. This is happening. The Supreme Court said states can do it. We shouldn't bury our heads in the sand
sure.
on this issue. But it is not the cure for Kentucky's problems.
But Kentucky does often bury its head in the sand when it comes to issues that raise new revenue. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about the governor's opposition to marijuana, his opposition to gaming. He hasn't said he's opposed to this, but you're speaking at an event where the other panelist is Family Foundation, mm-hmm. right? So I guess the opposition is going to be from the religious side.
Yes, it will be, and they'll be opposed to it. They'll be opposed to it, of course. You know, when you go to all the different church bingos, I find it ironic sometimes how opposed we are to gaming. You know, look, there's so many issues there, but I think one thing we have to do is message it. And sports gaming, of course, is already here in the ways we just talked about.
Right.
Another thing is, you know what? For a certain group of people, I would ask them, do you want the government deciding how you spend your entertainment dollars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why shouldn't you be able to bet? And, of course, the third thing I would say, this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And where we are right now, this isn't even 1990, right? We're in 2018. If we implement sports gaming, where are most people going to want to do it? On their phones.
Right.
You know, this is going to be a mobile application. Now, there is software that can prevent people from outside of Kentucky from gaming if their state doesn't make it legal, but there are going to be loopholes that start to appear
yeah.
on this. There's already offshore sports betting places. This is happening. This is one where we just need to say, if people want to bet on sports, let's do it in a responsible
yeah.
and regulated way. And then, of course, get a little bit of that money back.
Yeah, and the whole
Kentucky.
Thing, you know, we don't want to see, like, casino gambling, all Kentuckians going to Indiana and Tennessee or wherever to do it.
Well,
so.
And Kentucky's not going to run it. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's – the state isn't going to run this because this is different than expanded gaming.
Yeah.
And this is different than parimutuel wagering. You know, it is possible to lose on sports gaming. And so private companies will be allowed to do this, and we will take an automatic cut. That's also part of the reason I think the revenue will be
okay.
reduced.
Okay. Well, it sounds like something that would produce for you. Now, in preparing to come here, I read some of your writings, very well-written pieces, a summary of the 2018 legislative session in which you frequently quoted the Grateful Dead. You don't seem like a Grateful Dead guy, but...
No, I do. I love the Grateful Dead. I love music,
okay.
And I'm one of those guys that I've always loved music. To say I hate it when people say, "Oh, I love all types of music." So here I'm about to say I love all types of
yeah.
music, but I love all types of music, but I've loved them at different points in my life.
Sure.
And you know the Grateful Dead I actually came to probably a little bit late. I mean, I knew some of their stuff just because. I do really like music, but probably started actually listening to the Grateful Dead for me after college and into law school, and really
okay.
is when I started kind of listening to them. You know, and they're a band I think that they're hard to get into for some people, but once you get into them, I mean, their roots are in bluegrass, their roots are in blues music. You know, they did a lot of really cool things, and some of their songs, of course, that they made popular have been covered by other bands that you wouldn't think about. You know, they covered the Otis Redding song "Hard to Handle" all the time, and of course, the Black Crowes made it very popular
yeah.
in the early '90s on their
well, you
first album, so.
Well, and you study those lyrics because you use them a lot
yeah.
in your writing, and that's great. And I think people, if they want to see this, it's on your website, right?
Yeah, it is. And of course, you know, this is one thing that I really encourage people to do. It's a recap. It's on my website, but I really what I do is every week during session I write a recap, and I do try to make it a little bit different than the standard LRC written legislative recap. So I put things in there that I enjoy, and sometimes it's song lyrics and from all kinds of different bands. And my last recap quoted Kenny Chesney as opposed to the Grateful Dead. So, but I send it out as an email newsletter, and anybody who wants to sign up for an email newsletter from me or any other legislator, email us. My email address is morgan.mcgarvey@lrc.ky.gov. Again, it's my thoughts on the bills we pass and what's happened during the session. I don't send as many newsletters out when we're not in session because there's not as much going on. But happy to send it out to anybody interested.
Okay, well, we'll be interested in following you. Good luck with the child, and good luck with the decision on running for Attorney General.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And a big thank you for Morgan McGarvey for squeezing me in today. I went down to his office. He's also a musician. We talked about all the music he likes. He is playing at an event at Fox Hollow Farm in October. If you want to see if he's any good or not, I guess. So anyway, Morgan McGarvey, I hope he's successful. I hope he does run for Attorney General. I think he would be a good one, really be good. All right, so this part of the show, the Rusty Satellite Show, is where I talk about things going on around town and in my life and things that you might be interested in. Coming up, remember, our Bourbon City Guest of the Week coming up is none other than Jeff Crow, who is the chief down there at the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience, and they have a new bar going in, and it looks really exciting. They have a new mixologist, a job that I really want to have down there as well. Her name is Carla Plott. And maybe we'll hear from her in the future. I don't know. All right, so the big thing going on with me this week, and I'm very excited about it, is that on Thursday, as you're listening to this, I will be over at the Eye Care Institute having LASIK performed on my eyes. Now, this is very exciting. I've had good eyesight until my 20s, and then I had to go with glasses and contacts. Been wearing contacts ever since. And, certainly vision is important, and it's a lot of trouble to do contacts all the time. I talked to Mark Prussian, the president of Eye Care Institute, about LASIK 3 or 4 years ago, and just never was ready and willing to pull the trigger, I guess. But now, I went in last week and had my consultation with the doctor, Dr. John Mayer, and I think he is best in town. He told me he'd done some number in the thousands of LASIK procedures over there. LASIK is actually as popular. There was a time where, I guess he said that the demand was really, really high. They couldn't get to all the demand. But now they're in a good place. It's a steady business, and it promotes a vast improvement in your life, from what I hear. So I will not miss glass. I took my contacts out for, I hope, the last time last night, and really looking forward. They're pros there at Eye Care Institute. They know what they're doing. Even if it's not LASIK, if you got some other procedure you need to have looked at, call them at 589-1500. And I think down the road in the future, I'm going to have the doctor on the show. He's going to talk about how it is. I'll tell you how it goes next week. I'm surprised that such a serious thing. There's no. They give me a subscription for Valium that I'm not going to get. But there's no anesthesia, and the recovery time is very quick. I'm supposed to go like 2 or 3 hours of total rest afterwards, resting my eyes, and then I'll be good to go, I think. So anyway, thanks to Eye Care Institute. You can call them at 502-589-1500 if you're interested in finding out if you're eligible. It's really a great thing. So also, my other sponsor is Heiser Health. And I tell you, the weight keeps coming off. I'm down low 190s now. I'm very happy about that. Strictly doing it with exercise 3 times a week. Exercise class, I've got up to 15 miles on my bike. I do my bike. A bike ride every day that I don't do exercise class, and it's diet. And I found a new place. I was looking in Louisville Magazine the other day, and the new one has 36. The cover story is 37 crave-worthy restaurants, all new restaurants that are in Louisville, and one of them was right around the corner from the studio here. It's called the Garden District or Salad District, and so I went over and tried it. And you know, salads, it's hard to get a good salad out, you know, if that's all you want. Usually they just throw the ingredients in there and they're piled on top of each other. And then it gets, you know, sometimes it gets hard to eat. What they do over here at the salad district is that they put all the ingredients in a bowl, and then they turn the bowl over and they chop it all up into nice bite-sized pieces. I got one called Taiwan on, and it had some nice flavors in it. So I got the hot version with jalapenos and with sriracha sauce, and they just chopped it all up in a bowl. Very easy to eat. I guess the thing of salad is, you know, like you might get a bite of one thing and then a bite of another thing. This is all mixed together very well, and it was really good. So remember that. I'm sure it qualifies on my Heiser diet that Peggy Heiser has. It's going very well. I started March 8th at 229 pounds, and I weighed 194 today. So very happy about how that's going. But fortunately, I skipped some things. Like this week is Burger Week in town. There's a bunch of places, like more than a dozen restaurants that are serving special burgers that are $5. And I think I might partake of one of those. I might find one that is on the healthy side. That, you know, I haven't eaten any red meat at all during this whole time. Abstained 100% from red meat. That's one thing I've been very good at. I'm, you know, all the things on the diet, I cheat a little bit, maybe sometime. Only chicken and fish on the meat side, though. The bourbon is becoming a lure for me. I'm not supposed to have a lot of bourbon, but, you know, I'm in a good place, and so I'm sampling a bit. Like, you know, when you hear about the bar up at the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience, I do want to go down there and have an Evan Williams bourbon drink down there made by the mixologist, Carla Platt. We'll see if I can get down there and do that. I certainly am willing to go off my rules for something like that. So you can check it out. Just Google Burger Week, Louisville Burger Week, and you'll find a bunch of places where there's a list of all the restaurants that are participating. I went to a promotional event for that last year, and it was a blast. Some of the top chefs in town were doing, you know, basically a burger. It's not a all beef patty at all. It's a mixture of ingredients into a burger, and everybody's got their own twist on it. It's really something. Okay, so what are people talking about in Louisville this week? I hate to do this. I hate to even talk about it because it makes whoever's behind this billboard campaign even more successful, because the whole goal of the campaign, I think, is to get people to talk about it. And at some point, there will be some unveiling and we'll all know what was up with those Chris and Jessica billboards. There's about 15 of them around town. A bunch of news organizations have done stories about the campaign. It's like things you say in a relationship when it's ending, you know, and they're prominent on billboard, a lot of different billboards around town. I think it's like Chris, we're gonna have to sit down and talk about this, and you know, things that you say when you're breaking up. So anyway, I just saw the official name of the salad place is Green District Salad. There's one right in St. Matthews. There's one downtown on Fifth Street as well. So you got that. Just so you're clear, if you want to try one, and I suggest you do. It's really. By the way, well. This billboard campaign, there's a lot of speculation about what it's about. Somebody's spending a lot of money on it. I'll say that for sure. And it's getting a lot of attention, and that's all it is. I don't know the ultimate goal. I think, you know what, one thing a lot of people are saying is, whatever it is, we're going to be disappointed about what it is, because they built up all this hype, and it's going to be something probably silly. There was speculation that had to do with WDRB-TV and reporter Chris Otts, who's been on this show, and there's another reporter that Jessica Bard. I think they put that one to rest as well. So, on a more serious note, we have a big issue, and I've been following this story about Manual High School for a long time. You know, my two of my sons went there, and they had a problem with their principal. And the report just came out that they had this investigation that took months and months. We know from previous media reports that this principal named Jerry Mays was making inappropriate comments to students, making race-related comments to students. The idea was that he couldn't be racist because he's a white guy and he grew up around black. And the report that came out just this week, I just read it in Insider Louisville, is that Mays called himself a wigger, which is a term that it's just stupid. Is what it is. So the report said that he was racist, transphobic, and intimidating in his comments, that there was a lot of evidence of this kind of attitude by this guy. And in a time when, John Schnatter lost almost everything he has for using the N-word in a very inappropriate thing to say. What I want to know is, not only why did it take so long for them, for JCPS, to get Mays out of manual, but also why is it that when somebody loses their job at JCPS, they get reassigned and they still get paid? I just saw the story. Mays is going to get $150,000 through this school year, and then another $83,000, and he's going to be reassigned somewhere. You know, get rid of the bum. There's no reason to have somebody who has these kind of attitudes anywhere in our school system. And I just don't, no one has explained it to me. Maybe the union is really powerful. I don't know. Nobody's explained to me why people in JCPS who screw up don't get fired. Other people get fired. People get fired for a lot less than what Mays is reported to have said and done. And there's a little sub story on this. I don't know if you saw this. This was very interesting to me. A teacher in the system named Tammy Crowder, who is a teaches English as a second language, she sent out a tweet on her JCPS account. You know, here's the apology. Earlier today, I mistakenly tweeted a personal comment on my school Twitter account. I apologize. I'm usually careful to keep my personal and professional life separate. Thank you for respecting the difference. You know, that's what she said after she got a lot of flack for this one. She wrote, under the Twitter account is ESL Pro. She wrote, "Today, I'm officially afraid to be white in America. JCPS Super just made a horrible decision. There are principals who are bullies and so much worse than Jerry Mays. Lesson learned. Always apologize for being white." I'm telling you, I don't understand why she still has a job. I mean, if I'm not white, I don't want my kid going and having that person with an attitude like that as my teacher. That's for sure. I don't understand it. Why JCPS protects these people? I don't know. Good for Marty Polio for making the decision to remove Mays. He's hired a veteran African American administrator, Kirk Lattimore, to be the principal at Manual in the interim until a new one is selected. So that's what's going on at Manual. Again, it's a bad situation. You know, compare and contrast that situation with how people reacted to John Schnatter. You know, it was instant. You know, Neely Bendapudi over at U of L, she had his name coming off the stadium within 48 hours of the incident. Mays's comments were recorded. There was plenty of evidence there, and it was months and months ago. It took JCPS so long to act. It was really the wrong thing to do. I think if Polio had acted more swiftly and decisively and not reassigned Mays to another job in the system so he still gets paid, it would have been a lot better. It would have been a lot easier, and we'd be beyond this now. But now Mays is showing up to work every day at some administrative duties and getting paid $150,000, a principal salary, for doing, you know, there's no like job waiting for them. They just can't fire him, I guess, and they just move him over there. So anyway, that's what's happening with that story. I get a little worked up about stories like that. That's my thing. Hey, there's some a big show coming up this week. I want to end this. I'm thinking about going. Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper are playing the Yums. Oh, what a combination. Cyndi Lauper, I was talking to Paula last about. She's got a colorful history, and I really like his. My favorite musician is a guy named Steve Forbert, and he just showed up in her video, "Girls Just Want to Have Fun" video. But Lauper's more famous around here. In 2012, I can't remember why, because it was very questionable choice. The Derby Festival selected her as the Grand Marshal of the Pegasus Parade, and she got in a little trouble while she was here. She again, we're talking about people saying things they shouldn't say. She let the an F-bomb fly on live TV. But anyway, so she's coming back on Sunday, and I just go on StubHub and look at tickets for things, and just to see where they are. You could get in the worst seats in the house for less than $10. So maybe that's something I'll do on Sunday. It sounds like that would be a good time. And I always like Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart was like, there's two Rod Stewarts. There's the cool Rod Stewart from the early days, you know, the Maggie May period and Gasoline Alley and some of the things he first came out. I was first listening to, like, before I was in high school. And then, you know, then he sort of went to a more popular list of songs, a more pop top 40 type sappy songs, I would say, that he had. So anyway, I read a review that this tour of these two going out together started in California and Hollywood very recently, and so they're coming to Louisville on Sunday. So keep that in mind as a thing to do. All right, let's get on to our Bourbon City guest of the week, and it's Jeff Crow, who I talked to a while back, probably 3 years ago, about the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience. And when I did that story then, I went through that tour, and it was the first one on Main Street. I just thought the tour was so cool. I learned so much history about who Evan Williams was. He was a wharf master at the turn of the century, and he's really responsible for a lot of the reason bourbon got its start here and as a popular beverage to be distilled. And if you ever get a chance, I just think it's a great tour. It's about an hour. But now I'm excited about going down there because anybody can go. You don't have to be going on a tour or anything like that. They've got this bar situation upstairs on the third floor, and it's cool. They haven't advertised it much. It just opened on the 4th of July, and you'll hear all about it here in my conversation with Jeff Crow, who's a really cool dude, and I suggest you get down there and see it.
Next up, it's the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Get a different taste.
Wow, what a cool place I'm in today. This is the Rusty Satellite Show with my Bourbon City Guest of the Week, Jeff Crow. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you?
I've missed you. We haven't seen each other for a few years now, but
just imagine when you walk in, I get to come to work and do this every day. How cool is that?
That's right. One thing's missing, you don't have any bourbon out for me.
So, I know. I couldn't decide if I was a good host, if I brought bourbon or a bad host, so I left it up.
All right, but we are, tell me about this place, because this is new. I mean, a lot of people know about the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience, one of the first real tourist attractions on Main Street, but it is... you got something new here.
We do. So we opened in 2013, as you know, as being the first distillery back on Whiskey Row in over 100 years. So we're almost 5 years old now, so we're pretty excited. Wow. So we needed to add a new little splash of spice to our exhibit or to our facility. So we just opened on July the 4th. It's a bar. It's called On Three. It's on the third floor.
Okay.
That's where that cool creative name came from. It's called On Three. We're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's not just for guests that are buying a ticket for the tour. You can walk in off the street and have a cocktail or a flight of bourbon or a neat on the rocks.
Okay.
It's all about experiencing our drinks and our spirits in a different way.
Okay.
So we have just hired a new mixologist named Carla Plott, and she brings lots of years of experience. I don't want to give a number. She might hit me for that. You know, treat a lady like a lady. So she offers cocktails 4 days a week, and we shake those cocktails up about four times a year. We change them up.
Wow, that sounds fun. I guess you didn't get my resume. I wanted that job.
I did not get your resume. But I will tell you, the great part is about every other day I get this cool cocktail sitting on my desk for me to sample to see if it meets our protocol for the next one.
Okay. So Carla is the new mixologist, and she has experience at local bars in town, right?
Yes, local bars in town.
And
so we're very fortunate to have her. She's been on board for about 2 months now.
Okay.
We brought on about a month in advance to get ready for the July 4th opening.
Okay.
We're family-owned and we're American-owned, so we felt like the best day to celebrate an opening of a new facility was on Independence Day.
There you go.
And so we did it with a drink called the Liberty.
Okay.
So it was kind of a twist on the old fashioned.
Okay. And so you get all these samples brought to your desk. You ever, like, I mean, what's the range? Are any of them terrible?
I've never had a terrible drink. The one thing that I will say about Carla's cocktails are they are beautiful. She's all about it being as visually pleasing as it is to the taste buds. She loves lots of local flowers or herbs that she can float in the drink. She's all about doing something unique and different that you don't just see on everyday cocktails.
Okay.
So I always tell guests, if you're going to go up and have a drink, her drinks are fantastic, but she's not going to do a 30-second shake and it'd be ready. It takes her a couple minutes to make your drink because she really is all about that perfect balance of visual and tasting.
Well, I mean, this is a comfortable space. There's enough room here for, you know, a couple dozen people, I guess, to come here and hang out.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm always curious about it. So it's not like you don't just walk in on the street. You just sort of got to know about it. How are you marketing the idea of coming in here to have a drink on the third floor?
So right now we've just kind of launched the marketing because we kind of did a soft opening for a while so we could get acclimated to what guests ask for, how easy it is to find us, how easy it is to get to us because we are on the third floor of this building. So right now we're just doing some on-site, on-street marketing with some outside sandwich boards and some Facebook pushes. But so far we've been very successful. This weekend was packed out up here. Of course, you know, we usually have some kind of sports plan on the big screens up here. We just got all the new leather furniture and stuff in, so it's got a whole new vibe for this floor.
Yeah. Well, the chairs are really comfortable. I'll speak for that. But as a part of this, I mean, you were among the first here, and now there's all sorts of bourbon attractions. Does that... I, I, I assume the answer is it helps, but does it help or hurt you to have this? Do you even consider it competition, all these other attractions along the street?
I'm sure on some level way above my head there's a competitive side, but from where we work as a visitor experience and a visitor, it helps us expand what we can offer. Because now you can park downtown Louisville in one location, pay your $20 fee, and you can walk to four or five of them. Whereas before, you were paying that fee and only able to come to us.
Yeah.
So it's been really good for us, and we have embraced the Bourbon Brotherhood in downtown Louisville. We stay in touch with them. We work with them. When people leave here, they've already visited us. So we don't have a good experience, so they'll say, where's the closest next one? So we send them in whichever direction they're going.
Okay.
So we're pretty excited about the growth in downtown.
Okay. Well, good. Well, let me ask you about growth, because I'm always curious about numbers. I would ask year to year, or how do you measure, you know, how many visitors are coming in? I know today it's a Monday afternoon, a time you would think would be kind of slow. There's all kinds of people hanging
around. Yeah, so we have found that Mondays are a really good day for us, because a lot of convention goers stay over an extra day, either for flights or just to have that day extra from work. And so Mondays have become one of our busiest days for us. So we have seen tremendous growth over the past 5 years. We started out seeing about 60,000 people the first year. Now we're seeing about 106,000 people a year.
Wow.
And so that's pretty impressive for us. Nearly doubled.
And the tours, I know that we want to let people know about the tours. They're on the hour still, right?
So we do a couple different offerings. So we do a traditional tour and tasting that's about an hour long. It happens every 30 minutes, Monday through Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it runs every 20 minutes.
Wow.
And then on Thursday through Sunday, we do a speakeasy tasting experience, which is a pretty high end for our higher end products to taste. It's about a 45-minute experience, and it happens on the half hour, so 12:30, 1:30, 2:30. It's a little more expensive. It's about a $20 cost, but you get to taste products that you couldn't taste just everywhere else. So it's well worth your money. And then every Thursday, we now do a new tasting called Sweet and Neat, and we partner with Cellador Chocolates, and we do a pairing of whiskey and chocolate. It's $25, but you walk away with some pretty cool take-home gifts, and it happens at 4 o'clock for a maximum of 20 to 22 people.
Wow. So there's a lot of new stuff. I mean, you think you open an attraction and you know it's the attraction. You don't have to change it, but you guys seem to be coming up with a lot of new and different.
It's kind of like an amusement park. You know, every amusement park has a new roller coaster every 7 years because you have to re-energize those people. We want people to come back and re-learn about Evan Williams and the history. And that's one of the things that our tour kind of sets us apart from the others, is we really focus on the history of Louisville and the history that it played with Evan and how the whiskey industry has grown from there.
Yeah, I know. I remember that back then, I guess I need to go on the tour again, but I remember I was impressed by the fact, a lot of people don't know this, and I talk to people all the time that don't, that Evan Williams was a real guy. And tell me just a little bit about his history, because I know that's a big part of the tour.
It is. So if you come and do our tour, you get to see, it's very interactive, you get to see the video happening, and you learn that people made fun of him back in the day. Who's going to buy this stuff? What are you wasting your time for? And he was, you know, he was the wharfmaster here on the waterfront. And so he has a huge history in what he brought to downtown Louisville and then what he added on to the whiskey industry.
Yeah. It's a fascinating story. I'd urge anyone to come here.
A lot of people think he's, you know, a made-up character. He's not a Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. He's a real man with a real history and a real past and a real impact on the bourbon industry.
Okay. And now, Evan Williams is part of Heaven Hill.
Heaven Hill.
And I guess you send people down there to Bardstown, too.
We do. So I oversee both facilities, so I travel between the two. And so when we launch anything new here, we try to launch something new there also. So we're always upgrading the tours there each time we do the same thing here.
Okay. So you got something new down there?
We do. We do a bottled and bond tasting down there. So Heaven Hill has the largest number of bottled and bond products on the market. And so a lot of people don't know that. So we educate them on that whole process and what bottled and bond even means and the different products that we offer. And it's about a 30-40 minute tasting that we do.
Okay.
It's growing very quickly in popularity because it's different than anybody else's.
Yeah. It seems like this whole boom. And I did maybe get you to comment on up the street a couple weeks ago. I was with Andy Trinan at the Fraser Museum, and they've got this new attraction that I think is going to, you know, lift all boats, right? If that comes through, what are you anticipating out of their attraction?
So I think it's one of those things that when visitors come to town, they're not sure where to start. And so if you have an anchor for them, a place to start to ask questions and get answers for things that they're not sure about, it makes them a little more comfortable in their travels. So we definitely see the benefits of the Fraser's new attraction and their new offering that they're going to do to visitors. It's all about marketing, so people know where to go and ask. So we're pretty excited, and we're not going to lie, Fraser's very close to us, so we know that we're going to see some benefits from them.
It's so, right down the street. Yeah, definitely. So that's a good thing. And last thing, you know, you've got this beautiful new space. I guess there are special events so people can...
So we do have we have two rental spaces. This is one of our rental spaces in the building, and then we have the speakeasy space that we rent for special events, whether it be corporate or family reunions or whatever. We have an event coordinator, Dabney Clore, on site that handles all of those. Now, this space, now the way it is set up now, it's more of a corporate happy hour type feel because we don't move the furniture out of it. They'd have to do it the way it is. But it's definitely well worth renting out because wouldn't you much rather sit in a meeting in this room with a cocktail in your hand than in some stuffy room?
I'm for staying here the rest of the afternoon.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, just bring me some Evan Williams and we'll be all set. It's very cool. So, as a close here, you were sort of just getting into the swing of this job when I talked to you before. Seems like a pretty cool job, Dan.
It is a fantastic job. It's a fantastic company. The respect and the growth from this family that owns this company is amazing. And so I see I'm going to be here a long time until, you know, either they send me home or I have to retire out. But it's definitely a really cool job, a really cool vibe. And I have a great team on both facilities, so we're pretty excited with the things that we can offer.
All right. Well, it's a great spot. Evan Williams, Bourbon Experience, right on Main Street.
Come see us.
So thank you for Jeff for being so hospitable down there at the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience. That's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about, really. I'm able to find interesting people. If you got somebody that you think interesting, or after 264 shows and over 500 guests, you think I've missed somebody that's really interesting, let me know. I'll be happy to get them on the show. I have some great guests coming up in upcoming weeks. I think next week we're going to hear the Bourbon City Guest of the Week is going to be from Copper and Kings, where there's a lot of great stuff going on. And in a few weeks, I want to tell you real briefly that I had a great time last week. I visited with Larry Wilder. I'm doing a freelance story for Extol Magazine over in Indiana. And my good friend Angie Fenton gave me this story assignment to go do a feature on Larry Wilder, who is the attorney famous for being found in his trash can in his front yard, passed out. That was 10 years ago. There's a lot going on since. It's really a story of redemption, and I've got that interview ready. It will be on this show once the story comes out in Extol, which is going to happen in a week or two. Really enjoyed getting to meet and know Larry and his great story about his second marriage that it's something I guess I have to tell you about it. You know, what's interesting about it is that Larry met Teresa back in 2009. They moved in together in 2011, and it wasn't until 2017 they got married. I think that gives hope for people that think I may get married again. Paul and I are, well, we're on a track like that, I guess, except we're not moved in together or anything like that. But anyway, it's a very interesting story, and I'll tell you about it when it comes out. For sure. This show is made possible because I have great sponsors. Passport Health Plan, the Louisville Tourism, my friends at Heiser Health, and the Eye Care Institute, where tomorrow, next week when I do this show, I will be able to see clearly without glasses. And very excited to tell you about that. My LASIK procedure is on Thursday morning and bright and early. And so I'm very, very excited about it. It's going to be great. So that's at the Eye Care Institute, another sponsor of this fine podcast program. You can find other news about the city at LouisvilleKY.com. That's the pulse of the city. I operate that site. And on Twitter, all the releases are under Pulse of the City. All the blog posts are under Pulse of the City. Also have a Rusty Satellite Twitter account. And over at Eat Drink Talk, you might note that this week's show features Jared Matthews, who is the owner of Diamonds, of Cafe Lulu, and recently acquired Jack's Lounge and Equus. All right here in St. Matthews. A very interesting conversation. Had Caroline Knopp, my good friend, in here to co-host that show. It's right here on the Louisville.am network, and it's at eatdrinktalk.net. I encourage you to check that one out as well. I am very excited to conclude another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. And if you like it, let me know about it. And that's going to do it for this show. This is Rick Redding, your host.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests.
You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes in the buildings every time I turn.